I want to move things along so I can get done a little bit early so the choir can not be so late in their practice. I appreciate them doing this. But I'm going to do something. Hosea is a tremendous book. And again, it's a unique book in the sense that God asked Hosea to marry a woman who was going to be a prostitute or go into whoredoms, spiritual adultery, physical adultery. But you know what? As I've studied chapters 1, 2, and 3 and going into 4, I would have never understood the love of God and what God had in mind and how God loves us apart from this illustration. I get it now, folks. Most of us would read the book of Hosea and you read it and it just flows in one ear and out the other. And you know, God asked him to do that. But boy, I tell you, when you begin to really decipher what is being said in this book, it's totally a picture of how much God loves Israel, even though they were falling into spiritual adultery. And that's why this is a tremendous book. But here, you know, we went through chapter 1, and that laid the background through the children, their names. But now chapter 2, and I'm going to have Larry do something in a moment for me. Chapter 2 begins to put it into perspective in how Hosea had to deal with Gomer. And so what I'm going to do, I read this. This is the way I do it because I'm a terrible reader. Are some of you in my boat? You just, reading's not your cup of tea. And if I have to read something out here, I'm not a good reader. So what I do is I read along as I look at the Bible. I use Bible Is. That's the one I use. It reads for you. It's dramatic. And so what I want to do is I want you to open to Hosea chapter 2. Larry's going to play that as he reads it, because if I read it, 2/3 of you will be asleep by the time I get done with it. But the reason I want you to read it, I'm going to have you listen to it, read it. And then I want, in your mind, I'm going to ask you the question. I'm going to ask you out loud. You don't have to answer. What's chapter 2 saying? And the majority, you know what you say? I don't know. I can't tell. But that's where I hope I can come in. So I'm not going to go through this verse by verse, but I'm going to break it down from all the commentaries I read and give you the lessons that are to be learned. And so follow along in your Bible as I don't know who it is who reads, and I'm hoping it's the same one. I read this through every day as I read through. I go with the chapter I'm on that day. I read it every day of that week so I can familiarize myself with it. Hosea chapter 2, Bible Is, follow along as he reads.
Hosea chapter 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I? And to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband.
Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt.
And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord.
And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God.
All right, that's Hosea chapter 2. Now I'd say, somebody explain that to me. Punishment, mercy. That is correct. That's the idea behind it. Ed? Right. See, I know what Ed's talking about because he's given me some papers that I've read on this. So I'm understanding what most of you won't understand, but they're getting property there, and the blessings are starting to come, and the people, that's exactly what's going to happen with Israel. That's what it's saying, but Peg was right. That's not happening now. You know when it's going to happen? After the tribulation, when he sets up his what? His millennial kingdom. And so that's what this story's all about here. But I want to give you some details, so I'm not going to go verse by verse. You've read it, verse by verse. You heard the story. Now let me break it down for you, because when I had this broken down for me from the commentaries I read, and I read this commentary, read many, four or five commentaries on this, all of a sudden I began to put it together. And so that's what I wanted you to do. Sometimes you read this in your Bible reading, and you say, well, I don't really understand that, Pastor. And that's true. But that's what I wanted you to understand, the book of Hosea, because I have seen a picture of God that I never saw. And you wait till chapter 3. When Gomer's sold into slavery, the picture there is of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why this is such a tremendous book. So let me begin at verse 2 of chapter 2, and I say it like this. It must have been a terrible shock to Hosea. Now, I'm interpreting not the passages, but I'm telling you in my words what I think is taking place here. It must have been a terrible shock to Hosea the first night when he came home to find Lo-Ami crying in the corner with Jezreel and Lo-Ruhamah sitting silently at the table, and they were unfed. Gomer was gone. That's his wife, Gomer. Hosea had been told what was coming by God. He had told her, warned Hosea that she was going to fall into adultery, and she was going to leave. And God revealed it to him. But he had even known of Gomer's adulteries because she had two children, I believe, by other men. And he even asked the children to bleed with their mothers after his own cries proved useless. That's in verse 2. And so he went to the children and said, go to your mother. Tell her she needs to stop. She needs to come back and be the mother, be the wife be my wife, and we need to have a home. And he even went to his children and asked them to go to mother. Because if you notice, if you heard it when it was going on, God wasn't going to have mercy on the children because they were children of whoredom. And the idea is God's not going to have mercy on the children of Israel, the next generation of Israelites, because their parents were into spiritual idolatry. And he wasn't going to let them off the hook. They were going to receive the punishment, not the punishment, but the lack of blessing from God. And so he goes to the children and he asks them to even go to her. But again, her departure was still a shock. And if it had not happened before, Hosea's heart is broken at this point. I mean, what could he say to Gomer? What could he do for her that he had already not said and done repeatedly? And I'm gathering because of the wording of chapter 2, he had really tried to make this work. He tried to make her happy. He tried to give her the things that would make her happy. But there's only a limit to what he could do. And he tried everything he knew to make this marriage successful. But she just wanted no mind, no listening to it. Not even her children as they begged mom to come home. So we must ask the question to ourselves. What does the grief Hosea has here about his wife leaving that teach us about the grief of God? Because Hosea is a picture of God. Now, we are warned in scriptures, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We cannot say that God grieves exactly as we grieve, because God is in control of all things and always works them out in accordance to his own good pleasure. Nevertheless, there is a parallel between God's feelings and ours. And in this story, it is designed to show us the nature of God's love toward those who've proved to be unfaithful to him. Gomer must have been, I believe, a woman of beauty and personal charm. And in our world today, in our culture today, we tend to glamorize adultery. If you don't believe me that, just take a look at Hollywood. We glamorize adultery today. But the word of God tells us as it is. And Gomer is an example of life in this area. Gomer had left Hosea. And even though God doesn't grieve as we grieve, because everything is done with his purpose and for his good pleasure, this gives us a picture that when you stray away from God, if you were to, and you're not living your life for him, the idea is God grieves for you still. You know, a lot of us sit back and say, well, God doesn't care about me. I can't tell you how many people have said that, who used to go to church or used to try to live for Christ, was born again Christian. They've strayed away. They're out in the world, and they said, God just doesn't even really care. But see, this story is given to us to show us the same way, not the exact same way, but the way Gomer or Hosea grieved over the loss of his wife and he was broken over it. God grieves for us to a certain extent. God hurts when we don't live for him. That's what I'm telling you, just from a personal standpoint, I'm beginning to understand what God feels, because I'm beginning to see what Hosea feels about Gomer. She leaves him for pleasure. And second, for material things she imagined her lovers could provide with her. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Hosea even quotes her as saying, "I'll go after my lovers," in verse 5, "who give me my food and my water and my wool and my linen and my oil and drink. And I'm going to go after my lovers and they're going to satisfy me. They're just going to make my life heaven. It's going to be wonderful." But what a pity that this woman, Gomer, cannot learn the value of the pure and faithful love of Hosea above all these mere earthly treasures. The same picture. Why don't we learn the lessons about the purity and the graciousness of our God, that it's so much, would be so much greater than the earthly treasures that we value so much to us? What happens to a woman who lives this kind of life? Well, the answers are that her way of life is downhill. One year she'll be living with a man who's able to take care of her and maybe even fairly well. But as you'll see in this story, she sinks lower and lower into the social scale of life until the time comes when she's living with a man who's not even able to take care of her or supply for her needs. Matter of fact, if you wait long enough, and in chapter 3, she ends up being sold into slavery. This man could not, her lover could not provide her even with enough food to eat or clothes to wear. She was hungry and clothed in rags. You know, at this point, I wrote this down because this is what hits me in my head. At this point, we know what God's going to say. You know what? You ran away from me, you get everything you deserve. Aren't you sorry now you ran away? I picture God saying, "I hope you're miserable." That's what I picture God would say. You know why I picture that's what God would say? Because that's exactly what I'd say. "You dirty rat, you get what you deserve." My wife did that to me, and she ended up living in poverty like Gomer is, I'd say, "You get what you deserve. You could have had me." But in our minds, that's what we picture God would say. In our minds, that's what we think God says, but that's why he wrote this book. That's why he used this illustration, because that is not how God thinks. It's the way we think, for it seems logical. Yet God is not that way in his thinking. For even though in time sin does lead to consequences, God loves you. He never wishes bad for anybody, not even those who used to live for him or were dynamic, or those preachers who once preached and they fell into adultery and they ran off with another woman and they're not living for the Lord. They're not even going to the church. We think, man, their lives are miserable and they deserve it. And God says that, but he doesn't say that, folks. God felt the same way Gomer felt, Hosea felt about Gomer. His heart was grieved. His heart was broken. For later on in the story, we're going to find out that Gomer becomes deprived of all the things she wanted. But the first thing God does, as we see that God intervenes in order that the child of God may not lack in necessities. That's why this is a picture story. And if you don't read this close enough, you won't see it. So in my mind, here's how the events must have unfolded in this story that God gives to Hosea. God spoke to Hosea and said, "Hosea, do you know your wife is living in the poorest area of the city?" I mean, she's sunk pretty low. Oh, she started out okay with her lovers, but she's went from lover to lover to lover. And she's outworn her usefulness. And matter of fact, right now she lives in the poorest part of the city. And the man she's living with is not even able to take care of her. She's living in rags and hunger. I imagine Hosea said, yeah, I understand that. Well, then God said to Hosea, go down to the marketplace and buy the food and clothing she needs and see that she gets it. Isn't that amazing? That's what he's telling Hosea to do for Gomer. I mean, she's played the adultery and harlotry. She slept with men, and now she's fallen destitute, and she's fallen without the... But God still wants to make sure her needs are taken care of. And so in this story right here, and sometimes you don't see it as you read it, but it's there. He tells Hosea to go to the marketplace and buy her what she needs. And it's not even the half, because he takes her everything. All of the things she said her lovers would provide for her, that's what he takes to her. That's the way God is. He's still going to make sure, as far away as you are from him, he's still going to make sure your necessities are taken care of, because you're still one of his children. Isn't that amazing truth? That's why this story is so amazing. God says, because that's the way I deal with my children, even though they run far from me. I imagine it must have been hard for Hosea, but he obeyed God and did what God commanded him to do. He brought the food and went into the area of the city where his wife was living. And if you follow the story carefully, this is the way I picture it happened. And then looking up, and that he got to the home where she was staying, and it was not his wife that answered the door. You know what it was? Her lover. And he asked, are you the man who's currently living with Gomer? The man probably answered yes, but at this point he's wondering, what's he here for? This man may have drawn back thinking Hosea was there to cause trouble and create a problem for him. But I can picture it as Hosea says, I'm not here to cause trouble. I just understand that you're having a hard time taking care of Gomer. And so I brought these things because I love her. I brought her these things so her needs would be taken care of. Will you take them, and will you see that she gets them so she doesn't lack anything? That's the story here, folks. Because that's the picture of God that you wouldn't see apart from this story. Why would God put Hosea through this tragic marriage? So we can grab hold of the love that God has for us, for those who've fallen away from him. Well, if you follow the story, probably, the man takes the groceries and the gifts that he brought. He went to Gomer. He hands them to her and says, look what I bought for you. And Gomer, being the foolish woman living in sin, believed him. And can you imagine? She threw her arms around him and kissed his neck and gave him thanks, and gave him the love that really should have went to Hosea at this point. But it didn't. But isn't that the world? People are far from God, and they're destitute and having problems, and then something good comes across their path, and they look up at God and say, God, thank you. Now they praise somebody from the world. They praise a boss. They praise somebody else for the very thing that God has given to them. What a picture. What a picture. She did not acknowledge that it was Hosea who gave her the grain and the new wine and the oil, who lavished on her with the silver and gold that it talks about, that they used for Baal and there to meet the needs and to serve their gods, not the one and true God, but the god Baal. You find that in verse 8. Does this sound like love? Well, it's not the way we would act, but it is the way God would act. But Gomer spurned God's love, and she squandered his resources. She gave him no credit to Hosea for all that he did for her, the same as we don't give credit to God. But yet Hosea continued to love her and provided for her just as God loves us and provides for us. Does he love us and provide us things when we're even running away from him? And the answer to the story is indeed, he does. You find that throughout Scripture. When we see his love at work through the heart of Hosea, we wonder if God is really like that. But everything in his word and in the experience shows us that he is. I love this story. It doesn't come from me, one of the commentaries, but boy, brought a tear to my eye. He said, God gives man the trees of the forest and the iron in the ground. Then he gave man the brains to take the iron and make the axe. The axe to cut down the tree and to fashion it into a cross. He gave man the ability to make a hammer and nails. And when the man has the cross and the hammer and the nails, the Lord allows him to take hold of him and bring him to the cross. And the Lord will stretch out his hands upon him and allow him to nail him to the cross. And then doing so will take the sins of all mankind upon himself and make it possible for those who've despised and rejected him to come to him and to know the joys of sins removed and sins forgiven, to know the assurance of pardon and eternal life, and to enter into the prospect of the hope of glory, which will be with him forever. See, that's our God. Gives us all we have. Gave man so much. Man took those abilities and put Jesus upon the cross. But Jesus did that to demonstrate his love. This is our God. The Bible says there is none like unto him. Yes, this is not the end of the story. For although it is true that God provides for us and pursues us even when we run away, it does not mean our way is going to be smooth. The love of God is pursuing and faithful love. But God's love is also a disciplining love. Consequently, when Gomer failed to receive the hand of Hosea's provision, when she saw where she was, she said, surely she will come back to her first husband who treated her so well. She didn't realize how well she had it, but now that she's being treated like, surely she'll go back to her first husband. But she chose not to. Even in the midst of Hosea's provision for her, which she probably didn't even know, she does not turn back to God. So the next step for God, after he provided for her needs, was to begin to withhold even some of those things from her. And so if you take a look at chapter 2, the outline of chapter 2 is conveyed to us in a threefold repetition using the word therefore. In verse 6 it says, therefore, this is the first thing God will do. And we're not going to look at this week because I need to be done. But he says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way. That's the first therefore. That's the first thing God does. These are three steps that God does. And then in verse 9, therefore, I will return and take away thy corn in the time. That's the second thing he does. But then, which will take the time. In verse 14, therefore, that's the third thing he does. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and will speak comfortably unto her. We see God's love and God's forgiveness. You know, we sit back and we don't think about us because we think about Israel, because we know Israel went in spiritual adultery, didn't they? They had Baal and all the other gods. They forsook God. But we don't think about us. But many Christians today do the same thing. And to understand what God does, he told in chapter 1 for Hosea to marry someone who would play adultery and cheat on him and leave him. And so we see the way Hosea responds to Gomer. It's the very way that God responds to us in his love. That's why this book is so valuable. That's why this book will help you to see God's love for you and for others who maybe even aren't living. You know some people who aren't even living for the Lord right now. Maybe in your own mind, like me, we think, well, God's given up on them. But you know, when I read this story, Hosea never gave up on Gomer. And God will never give up on you. That's going to be a tough road. You'll see that next week. But at the end of the road, the promises that he promised come true. Chapter 2. What a tremendous chapter. What a tremendous story. I hope if you'll read this in your Bible reading, you'll look at it from a different perspective, seeing how much and how God treats his children based upon how Hosea treated Gomer in the book of Hosea. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I always tell my people this is probably my new favorite book. Because I never understood, and when we get to chapter 3, I never understood how much God loves me, how much God loves his children, no matter if they're right with him or not, no matter if they're living for him or not. Now, there's some rough roads for those who choose not to live for Christ. He has to try to bring them back to himself. But as I see in this story, especially in chapter 3 when Hosea went and bought Gomer back as a slave. Jesus bought us, but with a greater price, his life. What a picture. What a story. Help us to learn from this book the love of God that he has for us and for those who even are in spiritual adultery and serving other gods, walking a different path. Help us never lose sight of the love that God has for them. Now, as Julie plays, it's really not an invitation for this service. But as I always do, conclude the day. I had some good thoughts on Sunday school this morning. Some people came up and said it could be a story, and they had some good thoughts. Appreciate the way you listen. I hope that you'll just take a moment and apply some of these truths to your life.